According to some commentators, pro-Israel spokespeople like Anti-Defamation League CEO Jonathan Greenblatt often present a false narrative of how Israel was created. But, say some of those same Israel critics, Israel supporters also put forth a distorted view of what happened to the Jewish people centuries ago. Richard Silverstein writes the Tikkun Olam blog. KGVM contributor David Rosenberg recently spoke with him about just such distortions.
It seems like you're suggesting that not only is the narrative false in our time, but if you go back centuries, they weren't even telling the truth about that. Could you talk about that, how the diaspora came to be, for example?
Well, go back way into ancient history. When the Second Temple was destroyed in Jerusalem in 70 CE, afterwards, there was a movement of Jews who survived that devastating tragedy, and some spread out into the diaspora. And actually, that spread into the diaspora had predated the destruction of the temple. So there was a huge population of Jews throughout the Mediterranean, and there already was a diaspora, we're talking like 2,000 or more years ago. So the idea that all the Jews lived in Judea until they were all expelled in 70 CE is a false narrative. And after 70 CE, the diaspora flourished even more. And the traditions of the diaspora were really inherent to the diaspora. There were references, of course, to Zion. There were references to the land of Israel in the prayer book and in other traditions, but they were more metaphorical and spiritual references. So people saw Zion, which is what they called it, as a sort of idyllic place or a utopian place to look forward to in the time of the Messiah, which, by the way, most of them did not take literally. But anyway, that Zion and the Messiah was an era of perfection, and that they looked forward to, they saw it as an aspiration rather than as a concrete thing. So when Zionism began in 1897 with the founding of it by Theodor Herzl, they were looking for a narrative that they could go back to that would legitimize Zionism, this new ideology. By the way, this new ideology, which was very controversial among Jews, because for some Jews, it meant that they were being called upon to have dual loyalty, loyalty to their home in the diaspora and loyalty to Israel, loyalty to Zionism. So there were, for example, wealthy Jews in the UK, and even in the United States, there were Reform rabbis who really denounced Zionism. It only became a popular movement, a sort of consensus movement among Jews after the Holocaust. So this idea that Zionism or the...
Well, it was kind of a small mass movement before then, right? They did.
Yeah.
Yeah. They did attract some people to go to Palestine.
Yeah. Well, there always were Jews living in Palestine. That's another thing. There was no mass expulsion of Jews historically from Palestine. So there were always 10,000 or so Jews throughout history that lived in Israel.
Well, just to clarify something, you read in the Old Testament about the Assyrians and the Babylonians forcing the Judeans into exile, or the actually both kingdoms. Is that true historically, do you think?
Well, yes, I think it's probably true, although nothing that we that's in the Bible do we know for certain is historically true. And there are, of course, many Jews who take the Bible literally and think that everything happened exactly the way it's recounted in the Bible. But that's not true. But probably the outlines of what's said about Ezekiel and the Babylonian exile, probably there is a lot of truth to that. But still, we're talking about an existence in Israel that followed that. So there were always Jews in Judea, in Israel, and there were always Jews in the diaspora. So even we have in Jewish tradition, we have traditions that talk about the existence of the Jews in Babylon in the diaspora. So even then there was a diaspora. even though they did eventually, many of them go back to the land of Israel. So anyway, Zionism, as I said just now, became only the consensus after the Holocaust. And so now, what I was actually, I wanted to jump back to Herzl. They needed a narrative that legitimized Zionism. And that's why they took this notion of Zion and made it a literal longing to go back to, physically go back to Israel. And that never before that was the case in the way people viewed Zion. So it's really important to rebut this notion that the Jews have a 3,000-year connection to the land of Israel. By the way, we don't even know whether we ourselves have a direct connection, sort of genetically or geographically. We don't know that we have a physical connection to the land of Israel. So the notion that we personally as a people have this direct connection and that we're indigenous, some use the terms indigenous to Israel, is a misnomer. And it's a sort of an exploitation of Jewish tradition on behalf of a political ideology. We need to see Zionism as political, not as religious. And the idea that we can conflate Judaism and Zionism and say that they're one thing, which is something that Jonathan Greenblatt has just said in a speech that he gave at a pro-Israel conference in, I believe, in New York. This idea that they're interchangeable, that you can't have Judaism without Zionism, which is what he said, is also really a toxic, it's a toxic concept, because it makes Jews into total advocates for Israel. And it rears the ugly head of dual loyalty, in which people like Greenblatt, the ADL, and the Israel lobby are seen as tools or agents of Israel. And that really harms the overall status of Jews in this country. It gives fuel to the notions of anti-Semites that Jews aren't loyal to the United States, not loyal, that the United States is not their homeland, but that Israel is. So we have to be extremely careful to rebut and to renounce those attitudes.
So what you were saying about Jews always being in Palestine, that's kind of the same thing that they argue, right? So they use that to justify the connection. So in a sense, they're right, even though there might have been only a small number of Jews. They say, Jews were always there, you know, going back centuries. So you can't really refute that, right?
I'm not trying to refute that. But what I am saying is that when you have 10,000 Jews and there are a million Jews in the world, and we're talking about the Middle Ages and eras like that, when there are 10,000 Jews in Israel and there are a million Jews in the diaspora, that's where you have to put everything in context. So if you want to talk about a direct connection to the land of Israel, if you have those 10,000 Jews who for generations have a connection to Israel, but that's 10,000 Jews. And even if you're talking about their descendants, we're still only talking about a relatively small number. So, but what the Zionists say is that all Jews today who live in the diaspora have a right to Israel, and that we have some kind of mystical but physical connection to the land of Israel. And no, that's not true, because the only ones who you can say that about are those 10,000 who lived throughout history in the land of Israel.
Do you think that, as one Israeli writer put it, and speaking about American Jews, that they're really not Zionists, that they're more like Israelists? In other words, they want to see Israel survive, but they don't really know much about Zionist ideology, or they don't think it's a higher form of life to go to Israel, or that it's the duty of all Jewish people to go there. Do you think it's sort of this, that most Jews really don't have that much of a connection to Zionism as an ideology?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think Americans in general really know much about what Zionism is, and Jews, I include in Jews in that. If you polled, by the way, the Zionists have this this trope, or whatever you want to call it, that 95% of Jews are Zionists. And that is totally false. It's based on a poll conducted by Gallup in which the pollster found that Jews have a favorable view of Israel. And from that, he correlated that with the idea that Jews are Zionists. And that's not true. If you polled a Jew, an American Jew, if you polled even an American itself and asked them, what is Zionism? Many of them, if not most of them, might say, well, it means that I think I have favorable views about Israel. That's not being a Zionist. Being a Zionist means that you believe that Jews have a right to a homeland in the land of Israel. And some even go farther and say that Jews have the only right to existence in Israel, and that Arabs and Palestinians don't have that right because they're not indigenous, because they came from other places and then settled in the land of Israel. And so that, again, is another one of the noxious concepts that bandied around about Zionists. So I don't think that Zionism is as firmly planted in the minds of every American Jew as they make it out to be. And they vote with their feet. How many Jews go and make aliyah to Israel and go settle in Israel? It's about 4,000 a year. And there are 7 million Jews in the United States. There are a million Israelis who live in the United States. That's true.
Okay.
But only 4,000 of American Jews each year go to live in Israel. So that's a tiny, tiny percentage of American Jews. And some of those Jews that settle in Israel actually return to the United States. So I think that you have to put these things in perspective and not fall prey to myths and exploitative ideas that Zionists try to propagate, that the desire to settle in Israel, to make aliyah, is planted firmly in the United States. I mean, Zionism, as far as the Israelis are concerned, means that the diaspora will die. And they see that Israel as the only survival mechanism for all of the Jewish people. And we know that we who have chosen to live in the diaspora and have chosen not to make aliyah to Israel know that our homeland is not Israel, but that our homeland is the United States.
And you point out in your article that the Israeli leadership is relying less and less on American Jews for support and more on the Christian Zionists.
Absolutely. The Likud, Netanyahu, who is a far-right extremist in Israeli politics, but also has made alliances with the MAGA crowd in the United States, with Trump, with the far-right Republican faction in American politics. They see American Jews as hopelessly liberal, hopelessly democratic, and they have really given up on American Jews in many ways. American Jews, unfortunately, the leadership of American Jewry, the Israel lobby here in the United States, has not given up on Israel, even though they should really totally reevaluate that view, because Netanyahu doesn't really care what American Jews believe or what they want. American Jews largely hate Netanyahu, according to polls. They also hate the so-called reforms, the judicial coup that the Israelis oppose so vigorously. American Jews hate it as well. But he's turned to what he sees as a new alliance with Christian evangelicals, who, for their own religious reasons, for their desire to bring the second coming of Jesus and sort of Christian messianic views, they look upon Israel as the springboard for the coming of the return of Jesus. And they have no critical faculties when it comes to Israel. They support the settlements. They support Jewish supremacy in the land of Israel, which, by the way, is something that American Jews disagree with strongly. American Jews are opposed to the occupation, according to polls. They're opposed to settlements, and they're really opposed to the far-right, ultra-Orthodox turn, the theocratic nature of Israel, ruled by rabbis who have extreme right-wing views.
Do you get the impression in listening to some of the staunch pro-Israel people that they're kind of like Stalinists, you know, in the sense that no matter what Israel does, they will defend it or apologize for it or just figure out a way to make it sound rational?
Yeah, I think definitely the sort of embrace of violence, not only against Palestinians, by the way, the violence of the genocide in Gaza, the mass violence going on in the West Bank, where scores of villages have been depopulated by settlers who have threatened Palestinians living, indigenous Palestinians living for generations in these villages, and have threatened them with death and actually engaged in murder and other sorts of terrible crimes against them. So I'm sorry, let's go back and ask me that question again. There was something I forgot.
Oh, I was sorry. Comparing pro-Israel Stalin. People with Stalinists.
Yeah. Stalin, yeah. I think that in terms of Stalin's sort of willingness to impose mass violence on Russians, that is very much in keeping with Israel and with Zionism. But I wanted to make a sometimes controversial claim that Israel really has adopted many of the features of Nazism. I mean, and we can talk about the ICE here in the United States, and they're sort of coming across as brown shirts, as kind of a militia designed to impose by force their kind of ideology on the United States. And in Israel, you have the same phenomenon going on. There's this extremely rigid, violent, homicidal Zionism that has taken hold over the years. And that's why the settlers are totally free to rampage through the West Bank. And it's why the IDF was tasked with committing genocide in Gaza. The view of Zionists towards the Palestinians is to engage in ethnic cleansing, to remove them from Gaza and remove them from the West Bank so that Israel can be a theocratic Jewish state. And that accords very much with Nazism, which viewed Germans as the Aryan race and views other quote-unquote races like Jews and other political factions like communists and gay people as Untermensch, you know, as undesirable human beings that could be disposed of en masse. And that's unfortunately what's happening in Israel and Palestine.
I realize this is a speculative question, but do you think that past right-wing leaders in Israel like Begin and Shamir would approve of what's going on?
That's a really good question. I mean, I look at it like the Republican Party, the history of it, yeah, going back to someone like Ronald Reagan. You and I and many progressive liberal Jews and liberal Americans hated Reagan. We thought that he was a fascist when we were younger.
Yeah, and every single day he did something horrible.
Yeah, yeah. And Reagan would look upon what's happening to the Republican Party. He would be aghast. He would turn over in his grave. So I hated Begin. I hated Shamir in the same way that I hated Reagan. But and these two guys were terrorists. They assassinated British officials and British soldiers in pre-state Palestine, and they were violent. And then, of course, they became prime ministers and leaders of the country. But, you know, I think you have to say that the roots of this violence today goes back to them, even though they, if they came back and saw this, might be aghast about it. But really, you couldn't have the Israel and the Zionism that we have today without the roots of it going back to figures like Jabotinsky in the 1920s and Begin and Shamir, and the far right-wing kind of nationalist, extremist, violent movement that existed, you know, in pre-state in the Yishuv and in the state, which was founded in 1948.
Was it the Stern Gang that wanted to join Mussolini fascists?
Yeah. Yep. The Jabotinsky really embraced Mussolini, and he wanted to send Jews to Italy to train and to, you know, absorb the fascism that Mussolini represented. And so, yeah, we are going back to fascism. And there was always a strain of fascism in Zionism as it was practiced in Israel. So the fascism that exists now and the genocide and the Judeo supremacy that exists now really has its roots going back to that.
And yet the polling in Israel revealed that even the, well, I don't know if there's a left anymore in Israel, but that the rest of the population was pretty much behind the government's activities in Gaza.
Yeah, they're always, when there's a war in Israel, there's always a huge percentage of Israelis that fall into line and support the country and support the military and really adopt and embrace all of the military rhetoric that surrounds wars like this. But they've gone far beyond that in this particular war that's being waged. There's not just an embrace of the army and the sort of patriotic fervor, but there's this violent exterminationist trend in Israel that's become majority among the people of Israel, that this is something, the genocide is something that has to be done, that it's the only way to deal with the Palestinians. There's a return to this biblical reference to the tribe of Amalek, which in the Bible, it says that because the tribe of Amalek carried Israelites as they left the land of Egypt and settled in Israel, that they were to be exterminated, man, woman, child, and even their animals. And so you have this widespread embrace of this reference to Amalek, saying that this is what we, I'm saying Israeli speaking as in the voice of an Israeli, that we have to do to the Palestinians what the Israelites did to Amalek. And this is a horrifying reference because it's something like the ideology of Nazism towards Jews, that the Jews are a lower race of human beings and that they're a danger to the world, they're a danger to the Aryan state, Nazi Germany, and that they must be exterminated, that they're insects, that they're vermin, you know, rodents, which is how much of the Nazi propaganda machine pictured Jews. That is now very, very common in Israel towards the Palestinians.
So even worse than the usual extreme nationalism where they just want to conquer the other people, you would say.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. I don't think even Begin or Shamir ever used terms towards Palestinians like that. There were some individual statements like that. Once a chief of staff in the IDF talked about the Palestinians being cockroaches in a bottle. But that was not the prevalent consensus view. We're talking about going back to the 1970s or 1980s. That was not the consensus, but it only became the consensus in the last 20 years or so.
That's blogger and commentator Richard Silverstein speaking with KGVM contributor David Rosenberg. This interview was released on February 17th, 2026.